I'll take up the means of production and produce my own thing.
And it's a one of the privileges of being from Generation X is that there was no Instagram.
This is Donette Thayer of Game Theory, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
WGXC is hiring. Do you live in WGXC's FM listening area, and are you eager to join the Wave Farm team? The Community Engagement and Program Assistant is a part-time position that works in close collaboration with the WGXC Program Director. The position assists the director in maintaining WGXC programming and engaging Wave Farm's broad constituencies through social media, on-air interviews, and other avenues of community participation. Details about the position and how to apply can be found at wavefarm.org/jobs.
Wave Farm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Michael Gassman of Arlington, Virginia. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, December 11th. Local early morning temperatures range from 42 degrees in most places along the valley to 45 up in Tannersville. That's right, the ground held onto the cold as best it could. Regional average soil temperature is 38 degrees. Make sure your sub pumps are working. We are expecting over an inch of rain to fall through the day. Rain is going to fall all day long. Expect fog early in the morning while everybody's going to work. Afternoon time, wind gusts get mixed in and we see a high temperature, not just for the day, but for the week, happen at 3 p.m. when the mercury hits 60 degrees. It will linger for a little bit. Then, when the sun goes down, the temperatures will plummet. Prepare for freezing pooled water. These conditions don't happen very often and could have some dangerous and damaging results, so take extra precaution, everyone. We hit 32 degrees at daybreak. Then tomorrow will be cold and dry and windy with a high of 38 at 11 a.m. Overnight, temperatures fall to 20 degrees. Then Friday, still dry, high of 32. Saturday, things remain dry and we see a high of 34. Sunset today will be at 4:11 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:11 a.m. Looking way up, we see Earth has flown into a pile of debris known as the Geminid meteor showers. The peak is expected Friday night, and 2 a.m. every morning is the best time to try to view it. You know, when the clouds finally get out of the way. X-class flare chances are at 10%. Plasma winds will be slow at 398 kilometers per second with a thin density of 2 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently okay below 4 megahertz till dark, then okay across the board overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 125. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
The Public News Service Tuesday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. Ohio is seeing big gains in women's representation at the State House, with the General Assembly poised to welcome 7 additional women lawmakers in 2025.
This marks the 3rd highest increase nationwide, as highlighted by Rutgers Center for American Women and Politics. Yet some leaders, like Representative Michelle Grimm of Toledo, caution that these strides, while important, are only a beginning.
We're over 50% of the population, so that isn't entirely representative of who lives in the state or who lives in the country. Hopefully, we can continue the trend of electing more women, because our voices are important and our voices need to be heard.
The upcoming term will see women filling 34% of Ohio's 132 legislative seats, reflecting the national average. However, disparities persist, especially in prominent positions such as U.S. Senate and executive offices, where women remain underrepresented. Advocates stress that achieving gender parity requires more than just incremental progress. It demands systemic change and ongoing support for women candidates. Farah Siddiqui reporting.
Next from NBC News, the pace of price growth ticked up in November, a sign that efforts to cool inflation in the U.S. may be stalling. On an annual basis, the consumer price index climbed to 2.7%. That was in line with expectations, but higher than the 2.6% measure seen in October. Analysts are now saying it's highly likely the Fed will pause its rate reduction plans in January. And the public housing agency serving Nebraska's largest city faces legal action amid claims of poor living conditions for a tenant with disabilities.
Legal Aid of Nebraska has filed a request for a temporary injunction against the Omaha Housing Authority, claiming it's falling short in accommodating LaTanya Freeman, who has asthma as well as a disability. The two sides have been locked in a dispute over the situation. Attorney Caitlin Sedfeld says Freeman has had to endure living in an apartment with unsafe, mold-ridden conditions.
Her housing is detrimental to her health. But the alternative, which is potentially being homeless, is also not healthy.
The Housing Authority did not respond to a request for comment. I'm Mike Moen.
And the rapid spread of the avian flu, or H5N1, is raising alarms among scientists, with one UNC Davis expert highlighting its unprecedented scale and the risk it poses to humans and animals alike. Maurice Petesky is an associate professor specializing in poultry disease modeling.
We've never had an outbreak of an animal-borne virus this large in the last 5 to 10,000 years of human history since we first domesticated animals for food.
The virus has infected more than 100 million birds in the U.S. since 2022. This story produced as a Sentinel California News Service collaboration. This is Public News Service. Next to Rhode Island, where worker-owned cannabis cooperatives are striving to help those impacted by the war on drugs.
State law mandates at least 6 retail cannabis licenses be awarded to these co-ops, which give members a say in business operations as well as a share of profits. Organizer Emma Carnes with United Food and Commercial Workers Local 328 says the greatest challenge is gaining access to capital.
The entrepreneurs in this project are by and large people without access to wealthy networks, and they're up against very, very deep-pocketed corporate players. So the competition is really fierce and the resources are really slim.
Carnes says her union is working with other community-based groups to recruit co-op members and equip them with the resources they need. With sales of $100 million this year, Rhode Island has the nation's smallest cannabis market. I'm Catherine Carley.
And the effects of climate change are making the fire season in Oregon and other western states burn hotter and longer, urgently requiring additional funding and firefighters.
Oregon fire officials say the state lost 1.9 million acres during the 2024 fire season, an area larger than Delaware. Patrick Scripp, who manages the Rural Douglas Forest Protective Association, says the fires they fight today are very different from the ones they saw 20 years ago.
Our fire seasons are longer. The weather patterns have changed to where what used to be one in a 10-year event, we'd hit 100 degrees. We hit 100 degrees in our district multiple times in a year.
Scripp says fighting Oregon wildfires in 2024 lost over $300 million. Task Force is scheduled to deliver a new funding plan to the state legislature in February. I'm Mark Richardson.
Fire season runs from June through October, and in 2024, the Oregon Department of Forestry recorded 1,003 incidents, stressing both the state's manpower and resources. This story was produced with original reporting from Julia Tilton for the Daily Yonder. And finally, Indianapolis is expanding its innovative clinician-led community response program,
offering Hoosiers a new approach to handling mental health crises.
The program is a collaboration between the city's Office of Public Health and Safety and Stepping Stones Therapy Center. It pairs licensed behavioral health professionals with 911 dispatch to address nonviolent emergencies without police involvement. Stepping Stones' Andrea Brown says it meets people where they are.
Meeting people in the community with accessible mental health services is monumental for the city of Indianapolis.
The city reports success in the downtown and East IMPD districts, where the program recently expanded to 24/7 operations. Critics of similar programs argue law enforcement should remain involved in all emergency situations. I'm Joe O'Leary, Public News Service.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member endlessly supported. Hear us on radio stations, big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our content and trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
The best burrito I've ever eaten. Yum, yum, yum. This is the best burrito I've ever eaten. Yum, yum, yum. With plenty of beans and plenty of cheese and plenty of rice.
Oh, hello. You're listening to The Food Show. This is Tepper, and I'm going to be answering some food-related questions today, as well as playing the latest monthly food segment and listening to some clips.
Okay. Eat a donut a day, and everything's gonna be okay. Just one donut a day, and everything's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay.
Morning, Tilly. My question for you is, as someone who makes their own hummus, slash, just if you're cooking with canned chickpeas, when you rinse them out of the can, they have little skins that come off. Take the skins off to make good hummus. Like, do the skins matter or not? This is a mystery to me.
This is an excellent question. It has to do with the skins that come off of garbanzo beans. They come off of garbanzo beans often when you take them out of the can and you rinse them off. You'll see they look like almost like translucent little fingernails. And I've never really known the answer to this question. It's an excellent question. I think I try to get as many of the skins off as I possibly can before I make hummus. But I have made hummus with the skins and I have not noticed a difference.
Not good at a great hamburger.
Yes, we're doing everything from hamburgers to Chateaubriand today.
We are cooking beef.
So good.
Mm.
Happy cooking.
Bon appétit. Fried steaks, and Jack has a great panoply of them and is going to tell you all about them.
Yes. Well, you're going to do some steak dine with that beautiful ribeye steak, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And look at that one. I mean, this is nice marbling, yeah?
Now, this is the one example of prime meat that we have. Only 2% of our beef now is prime, and most of it is not very well aged. But this one is great, and it's terribly expensive. What is it about? $10 or $12 a pound,
yes,
or more.
About like this, yes.
But it's worth it to have one meal with a perfect steak.
And all of those are kind of bistro steak, you know, which have become fashionable in the last few years. We have the classic flank steak. That flank steak now costs a small fortune, right?
It
used to be cheap, and now it's very expensive. So, and the fourth one that I have here is actually the top blade. I mean, in New York, this is called the chicken steak. In Boston, it's the top blade steak. In San Francisco, it's the flat iron steak. So they have different types of steaks.
So, I don't know if you heard that, but this last question was basically just, do you have to, well, what do you do with a cast iron pan to wash it? And this particular listener said, I wash everything with soap and water. Why can't I do that with a cast iron pan? And, like, why are all these... there's all these different rules. I think it's because they rust or something. I've seen people do all sorts of things with cast iron pans and they're relatively indestructible, so I don't think it's as touchy of an issue as some people make it. But what I do if I'm not washing my cast iron with soap is just like scrub the stuff out of it and then turn it on the stove to like dry it and then rub some oil on it.
Soy in it and you probably didn't know this, but, like, everything is deep fried in soybean oil. So it's not just, like, your tofu and your soy sauce that I can't have. I can't have, like, anything fried. And so when I go out to eat or when I'm ordering a coffee or something like that, you know, I specify those allergies. And my question really is about that. It's not about specifying them. I specify them. But when I specify them, I say, oh, I'm going to have, almond milk with that matcha cappuccino. I make sure to tell the person fixing my matcha cappuccino that it's not because of me that I'm getting the almond milk. It's not because of me that I need to know if there's butter in the meal. It's not because of me that I'm curious what kind of oil they're using in their fryer. It's because of my baby. And I guess my question is, I wonder if people are going to think I'm a jerk for throwing my baby under the bus. Like, is it socially acceptable to throw your baby under the bus because of their food allergies? I know this sounds like a crazy question, but I'm being honest. Like, I don't have a problem with anybody having food allergies, let alone my baby having food allergies. But every time I go to order at a restaurant or coffee or even just at a friend's house, I always really feel like I want people to know that the allergies aren't mine.
I think your baby won't be upset if you just tell people the truth that your baby has a dairy and soy allergy. I don't think they'd be upset or think that you're throwing them under the bus, especially if it's, you know, it's, you want to be clear, it's not your food allergy, it's your baby's food allergy. So everyone's on the same page. Thanks for that question.
And it's available basically under one name or another all over. So there is a large nerve in the center. What I'm going to do is to cut this on top of that large sinew that there is in the center.
I don't know.
You see that sinew here?
Yeah.
So I can cut one from the other side here. It's the best way.
You can feel that cutting with your knife, I
guess. So this is pan-fried steak, very simply done with garlic and a little bit. I can use garlic today?
Well, certainly with the steak.
Okay.
Yeah.
And here.
That's so beautiful.
What I like to do for the steak au poivre, the paper steak, to cut it double like this, to clean it out. I mean, here we have an expensive piece of meat, so we have to take care of it. And to cut it in half, you know. I like to cut it like a kind of a tornado like this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Cut this way. So I'll have two steak au poivre. Now your steak is going to be...
the ribeye steak, you know, the roast ribs of beef. And this is the steak that comes in between the ribs.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to trim that off.
But this one is nice. Put it, a piece of plastic on each side. So which type of
torture? Do you like waffles? Yeah, we like waffles. Do you like pancakes? Yeah, we like pancakes. Do you like French toast? Yeah, we like French toast. Dip, 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 can't wait to get a mouthful. Waffles!
Chicken nuggets, trying to
make them at home for children, but also really for me. The question is this possible to get that, the texture of, I guess I'm saying more chicken tenders. I don't need the nugget, like as in McDonald's, but like, you know, really good chicken tenders. It just like doesn't work out. And then when I tried to make them healthy, I think they were paleo or keto, and I used coconut oil, which I don't think I learned that I don't like, and some other thing for the coating, and it just like was not good. So chicken tenders. Oh, and is there a way to make them somewhat, or is it just like mix something else? They call me Flipper, faster than lightning. No one you see is smarter than he. And we know Flipper lives in a world full of wonder, flying there under the sea.
So, the last question, I don't know if we're having maybe some technical difficulties, but the caller was asking, how do you make chicken nuggets that are the same texture as the ones that you might get at, like, McDonald's or the type of texture you get just from, like, your standard bowling alley chicken nuggets? And, yeah, so, like, if you're going to make, like, chicken tenders, you could, like, do two... Well, you could do many different things, but one thing you could do is just get, like, breast meat and cut it up and bread it. But I actually learned this trick. It was passed down from some friends down to me. It's not really a recipe. It's more, like, just a method. But what is done is you just take, like, chicken breast or thigh and put it in a food processor and like process it until it gets sort of like ground chicken meat, but it's not going to be like ground beef or something. It's going to be a different texture. It's kind of just going to be mush. And then what you can do is form that into nuggets. Maybe you can put some breadcrumbs or something in there, like, you know, obviously salt and pepper, and like, in maybe put an egg in it. I don't know, something to keep it together. And then you can bread that, get some panko or like just some breadcrumbs from the grocery store, and either bake it with, you know, on like an oiled sheet tray. Or you can, like, lightly fry it. So that's my advice to this caller whose question was, how do you get chicken nuggets to be the same texture as the chicken nuggets we're all used to eating?
Topata milo milata katiki puletika, c'est pas la joie des mitokala namoule macarena. Paoletus pabo patimele, c'est pas macagusta, mamie les belles, mais la moustache elle a pika mucha. Moka coca pila caca fissa bella la mazala, papa mama lo capi papo la gusta la rumata, j'ai pas coda milato cabo capisa la lasagna. Chica la poma capompa bella mira la Bologna.
Chica la poma capompa bella mira la Bologna. Chica la poma capompa bella mira la Bologna. Chica la poma capompa bella poca mira la Bologna.
Pito pata milo mila tacati chi pulletica. C'est pas la joie des mito calana boule macarena. Moca coca pila caca pisa bella la basala. Papa mama lo capi papo la gusta la roma.
When you're handling uncured bacon, whether it's like turkey bacon, pork bacon, whatever, do you need to treat it like you're handling completely raw meat and be more cautious about the way that you sanitize things, like versus cured bacon or cured whatever it is?
Great question. Do you handle cured bacon the same way you'd like handle other raw meat? And the health department will have the official answer to this question. Your local health department will have the answer to that question. My personal answer would be no, you can just touch the bacon. And, you know, I wouldn't eat raw bacon, but I would say it's on a tier higher and closer to food that's not, meat that's not raw, because it's been cured, meaning it's been preserved with salt. So it's less of a potential threat. So that's in just another excellent question. Let's hear another question.
Refrigerated or left out of the refrigerator?
Okay, so how long is an egg roll good for when you take it home as leftovers? And I think the end of the question was, should you take it out of the refrigerator? Depending on, you know, the type of egg roll and probably the way it was prepared, I would say an egg roll with, like, vegetables inside of it, I would give it 5 days in a nice cold refrigerator. An egg roll that might have meat inside of it, I would say 3. But again, you can look it up on the website of your health department.
Michelle, good morning, welcome, how are you?
Michelle, how are you?
Nice to meet you.
Good to see you. Well, I finally got in, couldn't find the front door.
The front door is up the parking lot.
I mean, I couldn't find it. So it's the best kept secret in more part.
Okay.
And so, you've been running the restaurant for 7 years?
7 years.
How long has it been quiet for?
And maybe we finish that with butter.
Okay, well, I'll go sit in the restaurant.
It's a little bit.
I feel like I'm back in the palace.
We can. Where is that?
What is that?
That's a, it's a dolly.
People
love those.
People love those. Mm-hmm. Really? You've got all that fancy crap on there, and yet the glass is dirty.
You delayed that. You said with a little bit of port wine, right?
Mm-hmm. What's ready, Jane?
I feel like inviting my grandmother for lunch. Could you not have got a bigger basket? I feel sorry for that poor, lonely bread roll in there. But let me just have a look at it before you serve it. Yeah. Oh, I feel like saying a prayer. So,
a lunch menu and a dinner menu.
Ooh, baby mince greens with sunflower seeds, dried cranberries and Montrachet cheese. God, is there anything plain on here, Jane?
I think it's all good.
Thank for that. Is the crab fresh?
No, it's canned.
It's canned?
Mm-hmm.
We'll can that one then. Baby spinach salad with strawberries, goat's cheese, asparagus, hard-boiled egg and grilled garlic shrimp. Strawberries and shrimps.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start with that, please, as my appetizer.
Absolutely.
I've got to think.
Okay, so my boyfriend told me that I can't fry an egg with olive oil. Is he right or is he wrong?
Okay, their boyfriend, the question was, my boyfriend said that I can't fry an egg with olive oil. Once again, the question from this, caller was, my boyfriend says I can't fry an egg with olive oil. So I guess that's not quite a question. But I think here's what I feel like this might have to do with non-stick cookware, even though that wasn't mentioned. But yeah, sometimes if you just use olive oil, like in a, or at least I feel like sometimes if I use olive oil in like a cast iron, it, the egg might stick to the pan. So you might try, if you do want to cook your egg with olive oil, you might want to try using a non-stick pan. Or you could also use butter. Question was how do you get stew meat brown without burning it when you try to brown it before you start making your stew with it? I don't really make that much stew or soup, but I would say try to try it without the flour next time and see if sometimes flour can complicate things. I don't know that you might not need it. I could see how it might like make the stew thicker, but try to brown your meat without the flour next time and see if it's if it doesn't burn that way. So next next we're gonna play this month's food segment where I go to different places and try the food. And on this one, it was supposed to be about chicken wings, and then it kind of turned into chicken wings and about getting the Thanksgiving option when you see it on a menu. So I go to 225 Warren, which is at 225 Warren, that's in Hudson, to get chicken wings. And then I went to Camilla's Bar and Grill. That's a newer restaurant. They serve a lot of pizza, pasta, and they also have wings. That's in Hudson on 7th Street. And finally, I go to the Martindale Diner in Claverack. So, gonna play food segment right now.
Described as regulars. At 4 p.m. on the Saturday afternoon when I happen to stop in, there's a lot of people here. Its dining room area with tables and booths was less occupied. And I took a seat at a booth behind another booth.
There's a song about whiskey.
Where a couple was finishing a late lunch.
Two tables besides mine.
I noticed their ketchup bottle.
One has children.
And that they seem to be visiting from out of town.
That are eating a lot.
Across the dining room, a family with two boys ate hamburgers silently. The white walls were decorated with black writing in varying fonts and said words like friends and family, New York, good times, spirits, beer, and Columbia County. One waiter quickly greeted me and took my ginger ale order.
Okay, cool.
Well, another followed seconds later to take my chicken wing.
Okay, can I get the, I'm just gonna get six wings. I'll just do a hot.
While I waited for my wings, I gazed at a decorative centerpiece.
They have a huge vase here full of corks.
An enormous vase.
I think that they want.
Full of wine corks.
People to know that they have wine here.
My wings arrived on a white plate. Radiating steam.
All right, here they are.
There were six of them in a small stack.
See, we got three.
Three drumettes.
Little.
And three wingettes.
They look nicely coated.
Next to a plastic container of blue cheese sauce.
I think a chicken wing should be shining. These are glistening.
There were no carrots or celery.
Yeah, very normal.
Although the wings themselves were small.
The amount of meat.
They were slick with an adequately hot and buttery buffalo sauce.
I could definitely take them a little bit spicier.
The skin was not particularly crispy. But the meat beneath was tender, not overcooked,
a lot of meat on the bone,
and sinewy from being left too long in the broiler or deep fryer.
It's like real chicken. Nice burn on the lips. Good skin to meat ratio.
Hello, and welcome to Food Segment on WGXC, where I investigate food places and tell you all about my discoveries. Desperate for content last Saturday, I headed into town to scratch the surface on Hudson's numerous chicken wing offerings.
Hey. Chicken wings.
At 225 Warren Bar and Grill at 225 Warren Street in Hudson. Their sports bar was fully packed with what could only be described as regulars.
I was gonna sit at the bar, but I think I'm gonna get some food.
At 4 p.m. on the Saturday afternoon when I happened to stop in.
There's a lot of people here.
Its dining room area with tables and booths was less occupied. And I took a seat at a booth behind another booth.
There's a song about whiskey.
Where a couple was finishing a late lunch.
Two tables besides mine.
I noticed their ketchup bottle.
One has children.
And that they seem to be visiting from out of town.
That are eating a lot.
Across the dining room, a family with two boys ate hamburgers silently. The white walls were decorated with black writing.
Yeah, I didn't expect that.
in varying fonts and said words like friends and family, New York, good times, spirits, beer, and Columbia County. One waiter quickly greeted me and took my ginger ale order.
Okay, cool.
While another followed seconds later to take my chicken wing order.
Okay, can I get the, I'm just gonna get 6 wings. And I'll just do a hot.
While I waited for my wings, I gazed at a decorative centerpiece.
They have a huge vase here full of corks.
An enormous vase.
I think that they want.
Full of wine corks.
People to know that they have wine here.
My wings arrived on a white plate.
Thank you.
Radiating steam.
All right, here they are.
There were 6 of them in a small stack.
Let's see, we got 3.
3 drumettes.
Little,
And 3 wingettes.
They look nicely coated.
Next to a plastic container of blue cheese sauce.
I think a chicken wing should be shining. These are glistening.
There were no carrots or celery.
Yeah, very normal.
Although the wings themselves were small.
Good amount of meat.
They were slick with an adequately hot and buttery buffalo sauce.
I could definitely take them a little bit spicier.
The skin was not particularly crispy, but the meat beneath was tender, not overcooked,
a lot of meat on the bone,
and sinewy from being left too long in the broiler or deep fryer.
It's like real chicken. Nice burn on the lips. Good skin to meat ratio.
Really good.
Still committed to exploring Wings of Hudson, next I visited Camilla's Pizzeria and Grill at 11 North 7th Street.
Hi.
Which opened a couple of years ago in the old Isan Thai Star location.
Ginger beer? Well, do you think, like, while I wait, can I just have a ginger beer?
I had never been to Camilla's before.
Thank you.
You don't have lime juice.
Do you have a lime?
No.
Oh.
And it was populated by one table of 3 people a little bit before 5 p.m. It was getting dark already.
I just wanted to get an order of chicken wings to go.
And a friendly waitress got up from her bowl of tomato soup and crostini to greet me.
Do you have like an extra hot flavor?
No,
okay, just hot then.
I ordered more buffalo wings. This time to go. And had another ginger ale at their small counter near the front register. Their dining room is intimate, with 7 tables and pumpkins and hay bales decorating the wide windows overlooking 7th Street Park. I waited for what seemed like a while, considering there was no one else waiting for anything, and listened to the aggressive white noise from their kitchen hood system, along with some clangs and beeps as I stared into my phone. My wings arrived in a hot brown box which warmed my hands walking home. Camilla's wings are 10 per order.
And that is why I took my chicken wings to go.
The menu reads
so that I can assess them in peace.
Bone in or boneless.
In the comfort of my own home.
Which means with or without bones. Although the first option is missing an E. I ordered mine with bones.
You fry them or you put them in a really hot oven. And then you toss them in a little bit of hot sauce.
I would never order boneless wings
with some butter,
which cannot be trusted to come from a chicken.
The box of chicken wings feels very hot, so that's a good sign. And
Camilla's wings were plentiful.
I'm going to approach the chicken wings with a completely open mind.
And longer, but not necessarily wider than the 225 Warren ones.
The little drumettes are pretty juicy and they're a little bit fatter than
The ones at 225 Warren.
They also swam in more sauce, giving a higher sauce to meat ratio.
What I like to see, actually, is this pool. There's a pool of...
than my previous wings.
Of hot sauce grease.
The sauce itself was more buttery than spicy.
I would say that these wings are a bit greasier than they are spicy.
But did pack a vinegary heat.
The drumettes are nice and are kind of plump.
When enough sauce was scooped onto the wing.
It does actually have 3 carrot sticks.
From the bottom of the box.
I would definitely get these again.
Luckily, I was home and was able to doctor them.
Perhaps ask for a side of Tabasco or something so that I can kind of doctor them a little bit myself.
With Crystal Brand hot sauce. One week later, I made a voyage to Martindale Chief Diner.
Yeah.
At 1000 New York 23 in Craryville. Recognizable by its problematic road sign imagery.
Wingdings.
And nostalgic rail carriage design.
I wonder what the difference is between Wingdings and chicken wings.
I ordered a decaf coffee.
And then for your coffee, did you want anything on the side, like cream or milk?
Milk, please. Thanks.
And was prepared to order chicken wings.
They have a roast turkey dinner with stuffing and cranberry sauce.
But got sidetracked.
What does the, roast turkey dinner, does that come with just the stuffing, or does it have...
When I noticed a roast turkey dinner on the menu.
Yeah, so it comes with stuffing, cranberry sauce, and a choice of potatoes.
As a general rule, I have to order the Thanksgiving option whenever I see it on a menu.
So it's either mashed potatoes, baked potato, or french fries.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is rare.
And it also comes with a vegetable. So today, the options are corn or green beans.
The Martindale Diner's roast turkey dinner...
Okay, I'm gonna have that.
...is served with stuffing, potatoes, cranberry sauce, gravy...
Do you want any gravy on it?
Can I have the gravy on the side?
Yeah, sure.
...and a vegetable. I ordered mine with french fries and green beans.
With fries and green beans.
And watched some national news as I waited. A woman looking for her cat.
There's a lady who fell into a sinkhole while looking for her cat.
Had disappeared into a sinkhole. My dinner arrived with everything that I expected.
Yeah, thank you so much. Looks great.
And one thing that I did not.
On a side plate, we have one ear of corn with 2 butters.
A single ear of corn on a separate plate with 2 containers of butter, which seemed to have replaced the green beans.
This turkey, I wouldn't be able to even tell.
The roast turkey breast was cut.
That it wasn't freshly carved off of a whole bird, you know.
In thick slices.
There's gravy both on a pile of stuffing and
covered with a generic gravy.
Some thick sliced turkey.
And leaning on a mound of mushy
stuffing has a little bit of celery in it.
But not offensively so.
Tasting it, but just by moving it with a knife. Mushy
stuffing. And accompanied by crisp
on the outside and fluffy on the inside.
Medium sized french fries, which were hot and delightful. I was impressed.
And sort of the extra chewiness of turkey.
By the real turkiness of the turkey breast, which tasted like it had been carved from a real roasted turkey.
The thick sliced turkey breast.
And probably had been.
The gaminess of turkey meat.
Just not right now. The stuffing, although mushy,
get the rosemary-ish herby.
Had the flavor of celery.
It's all kind of the same color, though.
Rosemary.
Watching the sun.
And herbs.
Slowly disappear beyond the mountains.
And complemented each bite of turkey.
As an added sort of condiment.
As did.
Looks a little bit like jam.
The jammy cranberry sauce.
But it does have some chunks of cranberry in it.
The single ear of corn remained completely and utterly.
And I don't eat corn on the cob, actually, now that I...
untouched.
Think about it. I don't like to eat corn off the cob. It gets in your teeth.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Food Segment on WGXC.
blue cheese dip is quite blue cheesy, which is not my favorite. I mean, I don't like blue cheese, but if you do, you might like this. Give these wings like a solid 3 carrot sticks out of 6 carrot and celery sticks. Okay, we have time for one last question.
What's the best way to cook a steak in a pan? Would I use oil or butter or oil and butter?
What's the best way to cook a steak in a pan? Would you use oil or butter or oil and butter? That's not the question I was expecting. I'd say butter. Let's do one last question.
If I want to add seasoning and rub to a steak, is it better to do it right before I cook it? Or how long before I cook it is the best time to add the rub or seasoning?
Okay, how long before you cook it do you marinate or add a rub or seasoning to a steak? I would say as far in advance as possible. So, I mean, well, not more than like a day, but for a steak, you could even do like a day ahead, or maybe you could even marinate it 2 days ahead. Okay, thank you for listening to our first food show.
Okay.